The second part of your book does deal with much of your own personal experience with music, particularly, in particular, as founder of Gretna Music. For our listeners who might not be terribly familiar with that, what was the motivation behind Gretna, and how has that helped you continue with music throughout your life?
Well, my first job, I had a long postgraduate education, 2 years in the Army and 6 years in residencies and fellowships, and I was somewhere in my mid-30s when I took my first job, and the only place that I really liked was the Penn State Medical School in Hershey. And I had 2 days to find a house there. I was in the, actually, I was the camp doctor at the Interlochen Center of the Arts, and I had 2 days to fly into Hershey to find a house, and I found that real estate prices were pretty high in Hershey around the new medical center. So I went out sort of in the frontier around Hershey and found a little place called Mount Gretna, which was on the side of a mountain full of trees. And I saw a for sale sign on the house, so it looked pretty good, so I bought it. I got there several months later and turned out that I had moved in to one of the surviving Chautauquas, which were surging in the late 19th century and early 20th century, as before the advent of summer schools, people came to Chautauquas, or Chautauquas moved around, providing lectures and all sorts of things, music and religious services and science and history. And this one was in Mount Gretna, was barely hanging on after the Depression and World War II, but they still went through the motions of every summer having Chautauqua programs in the remaining building. Some of the old Chautauqua buildings were still there. A hundred years old, the playhouse was, and an old wooden building with a conical roof. One day, the only guy who was of the Chautauqua in charge of the Chautauqua mission, by that time the Chautauqua had become a homeowners association, and they were plowing the streets and cleaning the leaves and running the sewer system, but they assigned one guy to carry out the Chautauqua mission. And he came to my door and said, "I hear you're a musician. Would you play some concerts in the old Chautauqua Hall of Philosophy," they called it, which is a big old wooden building, still there. And so at that time I was playing in a regional symphony, getting very frustrated because they weren't very serious about rehearsing or playing music. It was just sort of a avocation for a relaxation for some of the music teachers in the area. And I said, well, if I have my own concerts in Mount Gretna in the Playhouse, I can invite people to play with me that I want to play with. And those included some from Eastman, some from Yale, some from Interlochen that I played with when I was in high school. And it turned out the first concerts that we played, everybody liked it. The players came with their families, and they hung out around the Mount Gretna Lake, and I learned to cook and fed them, and then they enjoyed playing with other people who, for the same reason, playing music, it's like playing tennis. If you play with somebody who's a bad tennis player, your game goes to pot, but if you play music with people who are good, you get better too. And for some reason, even without any advertising, people came out to the concerts, and it just took on a life of its own. And during the 44 years that we have done it, it's just grown progressively into an institution, organization with a board of directors and a huge number of constituents and volunteers, and several very good staff members, and a reputation around the area and around the country, actually, as a place for good music. We do now all kinds of music. Chamber music is sort of the core, but of the 15 concerts we do in the summers, only about 6 or 7 are chamber music. Some of them are small orchestras, and a lot of them are jazz, and a lot of them now are for kids. All sorts of different kinds of performances to bring kids out to get introduced and to get their parents introduced to what we do.
Well, that raises another connection that you draw in the book, and that's the connection between music and nature, whether it's your experience as a younger musician with Interlochen or later at Gretna. What are some things that we're learning now about how, and perhaps that other creative people in the past have pointed to, that link between nature and musical experiences?
Oh, that's been a long theme for a long time from Thoreau and other writers. I sort of riffed on the connection between nature and music, particularly the trees. I've written is just loaded, as is Interlaken, loaded with trees. The image that I write about in the book is that streets in Mount Gretna are not like streets. They're like tunnels with all of them have a canopy of trees. If you look down from a satellite at Mount Gretna, it looks like there's nothing there but trees. But underneath the trees, there are literally hundreds of homes and roads and stores and buildings for the Chautauqua. And you can see the lake, but that's about all. And there's been a new interest in the possibility that the forest exudes certain chemicals that, from our evolutionary background, are salutary for us to breathe. It's just like sort of exercising in this environment of phytoncides are the is a generic name for all of these supposed wonderful chemicals that are produced by trees, and the trees are, by the same token, filters of all of the clouds of pollution in the air. Not to mention noise pollution. They certainly dampen the transmission of both air pollution and noise pollution. And by that, for that reason alone, it would seem to be quite healthy to live among trees. That's just pure speculation, but a nice thing to think about if you're in the habit of living in forest, as I have for most of my life.